Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. To know where God is working today, you have to know a pivotal sign of the end time. Repeatedly in the Bible, God reveals that one man would appear on the scene to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this is such a pivotal fact of the Bible that we need to be able to understand. Malachi chapter 2, starting in verse 4, "And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Eternal of Hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." That's Malachi 2, verses 4 through 6. This is describing an end time type of the ancient priest Levi. And we can prove to you who fulfilled this prophetic role. Which man in this end time had this covenant of life and peace with God? A man who feared God and kept and preserved God's law. A man who walked with God and turned many people from their sins. A man who delivered a message that pricked people's hearts and showed them they needed to change the way they were living. One man who gave his life in sacrifice and service to God for over 50 years, doing God's work with zeal, with passion, with authority, with godly fear. Notice here Malachi 3, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Eternal of Hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Here in Malachi 3, verses 1 and 2, Jesus Christ is the messenger of the new covenant. Jesus Christ is the one who will return to earth soon and marry his church. But then there's also this messenger who will come before the messenger of the covenant. A man who will come before Jesus Christ to prepare the way. This is, again, the same man referred to in the previous chapter, Malachi 2. One man in this end time who would do certain things that would prepare the way for Christ's return. Again, Christ is going to marry his church. That means the church needs to be made ready for the marriage, Revelation 19, verse 7. And this one man in the end time did his part to make sure the church would be ready to marry their husband, Jesus Christ. Now, we have to be able to identify who this man was. Another prophecy, the next chapter, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Again, another man in this end time. This time it's talking about an end time type of the ancient prophet Elijah, who would come before the great tribulation and the day of the Lord, who would come before the return of Jesus Christ, and turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. This man would strengthen families in God's church. Family is a type of the God family. God is a father. Christ is his firstborn son. Christ is also going to be the husband of the church. The church is considered the wife in that situation. Christ, the husband, church, the wife, all mankind who has ever lived will be the children of Christ and the church. It's all about family. So we have God the Father setting an example for how fathers should operate within their physical families. We have Christ setting the example for how husbands should operate within their marriages. We see a perfect example right in front of us in the Godhead. God and Christ showing us how to run a physical marriage and family. So it was extremely important for God's church in this end time to strengthen physical families. One man, one end time type of Elijah, strengthened the families in God's church, placed heavy emphasis on youth programs, youth camps, youth education, developing the young people, the teenagers, calling them the most important group that God's church could reach. It was most important of all to develop the young people into strong church members. That was even more important than bringing in new members straight out of the world. So we have here in Malachi chapter 2, an end time type of Levi. Malachi chapter 3, an end time messenger who would prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 4, an end time Elijah who would strengthen families within God's one true church on earth. All three of these end time men are the same man. An end time Elijah, an end time messenger, an end time Levi. They're all the same man in this end time. And you can identify him. You can prove who he is. Matthew 17, verses 10 and 11 also prophesy of an end time Elijah. Now that prophecy is a little bit different. Not only would the end time Elijah strengthen families in the church, but notice here what else he would do. Matthew 17, verses 10 and 11. And his disciples asked Christ, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." Another role of the end time Elijah was to restore all things, specifically to God's church. Acts 3, verse 21 shows that Jesus Christ himself will restore all things to the world. Christ will restore God's law and government, the proper way of life to the world, and establish utopia in God's kingdom. But one man before that, an end time Elijah, would come on the scene to restore all things in God's church, get the church of God on track after nearly 2,000 years in the wilderness, suffering, persecuted, scattered, not doing much of a work since the first century. There would be one man, one end time Elijah, to restore all things to the church before Christ returns to restore all things to the world. Now, by restoring all things, it's really talking about fundamental, foundational church doctrines. One man in this end time proved God's truth one doctrine at a time. God revealed the truth to this man one doctrine at a time. The truth about the Sabbath, the holy days, tithing, and on and on and on it goes. God's government being the most important of all those doctrines. An end time Elijah. Now, the Philadelphia Church of God has devoted quite a lot of effort and resources into proving who this end time man was. Again, this is a pivotal sign of the end time to help us prove where God is working today. We have a free booklet titled A Pivotal Sign of the End Time. Another one titled January 16th, God's Miracle Day. That date is the death of this man in the end time. And so God places large emphasis on that date and makes incredible miracles happen in the world and in the church on or near that date all the time, to emphasize just how much God respected that man and to prove that God worked through that man while he was alive. Matthew 16, verse 18 says that Christ would build his church. There is one true church of God on earth. God has only one true church, not thousands of conflicting churches. And in that one true church, God always works through one man at a time. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 show us the outline of God's church down through the ages, seven church eras. Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8 describe the sixth church era, the Philadelphia era. And we'll just read that now. This is a really important passage to understand. Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Again, Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. This is describing the sixth era of God's one true church, the sixth era under Herbert W. Armstrong. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury has written an excellent church history book, The True History of God's True Church, and chapter 9 is titled Philadelphia's Open Door. On page 174, Mr. Fleury writes, "Christ's plan to renew his work began with one man, Herbert W. Armstrong." Like I mentioned, God's work was practically non-existent when this man came on the scene in this end time. The church was really struggling and had been for nearly two millenniums. Now, there were resurgences in the church through these different church eras, but for the most part, the work was not really going out with power. The message was not going out with power. this really changed under Herbert W. Armstrong. On page 175 of The True History of God's True Church, Mr. Fleury writes, "All men will eventually learn that when God the Father and Christ begin a work, they operate through one man and begin in a small and humble way. Look at Bible history. When God first created human beings, he began with one man, Adam. When he began the nation of Israel, he worked through one man, Abraham. When he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he worked through one man, Moses. These men and what God accomplished through them represent just a few examples of this important principle of God's government. One man rule. That's how God has always accomplished his will, his work on earth. Now, Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8 tell us that God's church during the Philadelphia era, the worldwide church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong, would have an open door. God would hold open the door so that no man could shut it. And through this open door, God's church could deliver a powerful message to the world. This is a church that, when on track under Mr. Armstrong, feared God, upheld his law and government, and did God's will. And they were blessed tremendously. Matthew 24, verse 14, another prophecy fulfilled by Mr. Armstrong in this end time. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Who has done this? Who was able to deliver God's message to the entire world as a warning, as a witness against them, so that if they refused to repent, at least they got a chance to hear the truth? The gospel of the kingdom, the good news of God's kingdom preached around the world. Mr. Armstrong was converted, received God's Holy Spirit in 1927. He was ordained a minister in 1931. And in September 1933, as Mr. Armstrong says in his autobiography, which you can get for free at thetrumpet.com, the living Christ began opening doors for the mass proclaiming of his gospel. Again, September 1933, God began to fulfill Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8, providing an open door to deliver God's message to the world. Just as it says would happen in Matthew 24, verse 14. The Church of God, the worldwide Church of God, then called the Radio Church of God, began in August 1933. The name was later changed to the Worldwide Church of God because that's what the church became. It really did become a worldwide church with 140,000 people attending by the time Mr. Armstrong died on January 16th, 1986. Now, 140,000 people is not very big when you compare it to the Catholic Church. However, 140,000 people is gigantic when you compare it to any other period in true church history. This was the largest church attendance in the 2,000-year history of God's one true church. Now, the WCG, like I said, started in August 1933. Mr. Armstrong started the World Tomorrow radio broadcast in January 1934. He started the Plain Truth magazine in February 1934 as a follow-up to the World Tomorrow broadcast. Interested listeners to the World Tomorrow could then receive the Plain Truth magazine and dive deeper and deeper into God's life-saving truth. Mr. Armstrong had been doing evangelistic campaigns for years. He continued these in-person lectures as the third part of his three-point plan to do God's work. Radio, the magazine, and the in-person campaigns. Now, this work became truly worldwide and a wonderful warning witness to all mankind. Mr. Armstrong visited with dozens of world leaders, all of whom invited him to come visit. He wasn't sending out his resume and asking to talk to anybody. Mr. Armstrong was known as an unofficial ambassador for world peace. He delivered the gospel message in person to heads of state around the world and to their populations. You just have to judge by the fruits. Who has fulfilled all these prophecies in the book of Malachi, in Matthew 17, in Revelation 3, in Matthew 24? God tells us that we need to judge by the results, by the fruits. Matthew 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. It is truly abundantly clear that God used Herbert W. Armstrong during the Philadelphia era, but that's only the sixth of seven prophesied church eras. The seventh and final church era began when Mr. Armstrong died. We have another free book available to you at thetrumpet.com, Raising the Ruins by Mr. Stephen Fleury. Chapter 14 is titled The First Sip of a Bitter Cup. Over the weekend, the Philadelphia Church of God celebrated its 35-year anniversary. December 7th, 1989, the start of the PCG. And on that night, 1989, Mr. Gerald Fleury and his assistant minister, Mr. John Amos, were fired from the Worldwide Church of God after spending 4 hours arguing with Joseph Tkach Jr. and Michael Fazell, a couple of the traitors who destroyed the Worldwide Church of God after Mr. Armstrong died. Mr. Fleury's main complaints during that meeting were that the church had discontinued Mr. Armstrong's greatest book, Mystery of the Ages, and also that they had watered down the World Tomorrow broadcast, which by that point, of course, since 1955, had also been not just on radio, but on television. So essentially, the message, the worldwide message, was being dismantled. Mystery of the Ages explains all the fundamental truths of the Bible. The World Tomorrow broadcast is supposed to blast a warning explaining the prophecies of the Bible to anyone with an open mind to understand. And yet, these leaders after Mr. Armstrong dismantled everything, discontinued Mystery of the Ages, watered down the World Tomorrow broadcast and eventually stopped it, tore the church apart one doctrine at a time. And so when Mr. Fleury was fired on December 7th, 1989, he told those rebellious WCG leaders, "This is the first sip of a very bitter cup you are going to have to drink." And how true that is. 35 years later, the Philadelphia Church of God is still exposing what the rebels did to the Worldwide Church of God after Mr. Armstrong. We are still warning them to try to wake them up to what they have done by turning away from God. And Amos 9, verse 11 says that we would raise the ruins of Mr. Armstrong's work. Just like God used Mr. Armstrong, today he is using Mr. Gerald Fleury and raising the ruins, resurrecting the legacy of what God did through Mr. Armstrong. It is abundantly clear that God worked through Mr. Armstrong and now is right here working through Mr. Fleury in the PCG today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.